shout hallelujah. Amen. You know, amen. We have been hearing the city of Onitsha. So I was thinking maybe I will see a big market, but I've not seen it. It's okay, it's somewhere there. I salute you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to acknowledge the presence of all the senior ministers of the gospel, you, that the Lord has used to pave the way of Christ in the land before we join the ranks of witnesses. Thank you for your labors in the gospel. And the example that you have laid is what we are following in. Your presence is recognized in Jesus' name. And my friend, thank you for having me in the city of Onitsha. I understand that this platform is the high platform, and I have to labor before the Lord in order to secure grace to stand here today. It's a great privilege that I accept with fear and trembling, knowing fully well that God is able to make all grace abound. And tonight, we will touch that pool a little. Tomorrow. We'll touch the pool a little tonight, and then tomorrow we'll dive. I think this is the second time I'm standing on the platform of the Anglican Communion. This is, if I had made it last year, it would be the first time. So I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate the opportunity. Can we pray together tonight? Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you have mercy on us and stretch forth your hand to fulfill your counsel in the life of every individual that is here present. Let your grace be shed forth. Let everything that you have not planted that finds expression in the life of anyone here be rooted out in the name of Jesus Christ. Make for yourself a great name and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. In keeping with the theme of the conference, we'll just take two readings as we trust the Lord to gain ascendancy in the Spirit. First of all, we'll begin from the book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that said thou truly. The woman said unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship what ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now let's go to Amos chapter 9, which is the text that seems to unveil the burden of this conference. The book of Amos, chapter number 9. Amos chapter number 9. Then I'll just read two verses, verse 11 and verse number 12. And in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, and there that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the hidden which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Amen. Alright, those are long readings, and we have to set the coordinates so that we can be accurate in our witness. The idea of the tabernacle of David is a system that God put in place in order to give people the opportunity to be able to engage him without the protocols that were captured in the temple. You see, when you, if by any means you are given the opportunity to migrate in the temple, you will first arrive at the outer court, then you will proceed into the holy place, and then you will now gain entrance into the holiest of all. The intention to approach the holiest of all is measured in degrees of holiness. So you will see that in the holy place there is an intensity of sacredness that is captured in that domain. And then you advance into the place that is holiest of all. And just in case you are operating in the outer court, your means of illumination is the sunlight. If you come into the holy place, your means of illumination will be candlelight. And when you proceed into the holiest of all, you have access to Shekinah illumination. Now, it's a protocol that reveals the... Are you with me? Stay with me. If you are still here, say amen. So the man that is using sunlight as his basis is the reference point for illumination. It is the sunlight that activates his sight and interprets the things that he sees. That man is operating on a certain level. The man that is operating from the holy place and he has candlelight. The candlelight there is symbolic because God is both a prophetic and an object teacher. You know, the Bible says that the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. There are illuminations of witness that God will bring into your spirit that will give you the capacity to understand what God is actually saying. The Bible says, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. It is our possibility of seeing, of sight, of perception is dependent on the move of God that triggers discernment within our spirit man. But when you come into the layer of the holiest of all, that layer was shaped in a certain way that I'd like to bring to our notice today. For instance, are you there? The idea of the temple, if you look at it critically, is an idea of a shrine. A shrine is a place, a physical location, where the dimensions of a spirit being are trapped down. So if you want to make contact with that spirit being, you come to a physical location, and because of the technology that has been deployed to trap down that dimension of the spirit being, you can contact the spirit being in a physical location. You will not need to transport to a spiritual place to contact the spirit being. You can contact the spirit being in a physical location. Are you there with me? And so that's the technology that was used to build the temple. In fact, the temple was built to capture human offices. It was built to capture angelic offices. It was built to capture the office of cherubims. It was built to capture the office of God. And when I say built to capture, for want of time, we can't go into the detailed technology of how a physical arrangement can be set in place that can capture the dimension of a spirit being. But I will summarize that technology by giving you a story. The story of a young man I encountered in the city of Zaria. I went to preach the gospel and I met this guy, and he insisted that he needed counseling services. Hallelujah. Of all the grace that God gives men, the one I lack the most is the patience to counsel with somebody. I know those of us that have an original pastoral calling, I know how much of that grace the Lord has bestowed upon you. But unfortunately for me, that's the least dimension of grace, in of all the graces that the Lord gives me privilege to touch, the counseling ability, the patience. So it's always a struggle when I have to sit down to hear stories. Because, hallelujah. So, but this guy said he needed counseling services. We had to make arrangement to accommodate him. Then he now tells me how that when he was in the village, he was heading to the stream, and I'm talking about a typical village. I don't think we have very typical villages in Igbo land anymore. I don't think so. The kind of village that I'm talking about, I don't think we have them in Igbo land anymore. Now, so, I come from the poorest state in Nigeria, so I know what I'm talking about. just in case you consider your village to be backward. When next you go there, give thanks to God. So this guy was going to get water from the stream. And it doesn't matter the time you come to access water in that stream, you are likely to find somebody else there. But this day, it was midday, and he went to get water from the stream, and he was the only one at the stream. A spirit leaped out of the water and suspended in the air, and told him that, "We've been looking for you to give you wisdom. Are you interested in this wisdom?" "Say, yes, I'm interested." "Okay. In order for us to be able to discuss this wisdom, you are in the flesh. We need to move you upward." So he gave the guy 3 pieces of alligator pepper that he should eat so that he can go high. Because the kind of talk they wanted to talk, he would need to be high in order for him to understand the communication. So the pepper was a migration, was a transport system to move him high. That was when the Spirit downloaded to him how to construct a shrine. The idea of constructing a shrine is setting up several coordinates that mirror the dimension of that Spirit in the realm of the second heavens. Are you with me? Let me try again. The idea of constructing the shrine that was going to be a place that the Spirit can appear in required that all the variables that must be in place in order for that location that is going to be a shrine to mirror the dimension in which the Spirit operates. So that when the Spirit leaves its realm and enters that location, the Spirit itself doesn't know it changed realm. Do you understand that? So that's the dimension, that's the technology that was used to build the temple, to capture realms, to capture dimensions in a physical location. Now, are you there? So you now know how difficult, you can't build that temple if you don't have an encounter. You must have seen the realms that you are trying to mirror and the peculiarities. You notice that when Moses, for instance, had climbed the mountain to meet with God, there were patterns on how to build a tabernacle that he got from the mount, and God instructed him to ensure that he builds the tabernacle according to the pattern that he saw on the mount. The reason for which God gives very stringent dimensions when he wants to build anything, you still remember the Ark of Noah? He gave the dimensions. That means he was not counting on Noah's creativity. The issue of creativity doesn't come into play in that matter. And that's why God gives you specifications. Now, the reason why God does that is because if it is supposed to be 29 cubits and you make it 35 cubits so that you can have a curve, God will not be able to enter into that place anymore. It will be an obstruction from the dynamics that capture his dimension. And the thing about the realm of the Spirit is that there's no wrong. It's all right. This new design that you have created, that you have fructified, is absolutely accurate to represent another spirit realm. Are you following me? It's absolutely accurate. There's nothing wrong. Anyone you build, there is something that it captures. And it is that thing that it captures, its realm, that will come and fill it. That was why when Solomon was building the temple, he was not sure if it was according to specification until he sees what would descend to fill it. You get it? It's what fills it that proves that you built according to pattern. So, are you with me now? So, in the design of the temple, it's expected that as a human minister, because your office has been captured, so you can understand what happened in the book of Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah came to minister after the order of his course. Hallelujah. And then an angel was standing by his side. The way the temple was designed, you are supposed to be bumping into angels because their offices too are captured in the building. Oh, you are not following. You see, if I notice you are not following, what we'll do, I'll just reduce the syllables. Maybe. Okay. Let me test you if you are following me. Let's add one more scripture to the reading. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Are you there in Luke chapter 1? Okay. All right, let me read from verse 8. And it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto him, unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? Whereby shall I know this? He's asking for a sign. You are telling me deep things. I have no means to verify them. Can you give me a sign now that will boost my faith? Are you there? So he was looking for a sign to boost his faith, because the things that the angel was saying was captured in the depths of the heavenlies. So he asked for a sign. And then he said, I am an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that standeth in the presence of God. I am Gabriel. Are you with me? Now, where was Zechariah standing? You are not following me. That, because it was difficult for you to decode, it means you didn't understand what I was saying. The introduction, you see, at this point, when Zechariah manifested some form of doubt in that which the angel was saying, the angel found a need to introduce himself. He said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. So I'm still asking you again, where was Zechariah? Now, so do you realize that the presence of God that Zechariah was used to is different from the presence of God that Gabriel was talking about? Are you there? But the temple was built to capture all those realms. So there was a meeting place. So the way the temple was designed, it is expected that you will bump into Michael. You will bump into Gabriel, because all of their realms are what? Are captured in that location. I am Gabriel. Well, just in case you want to probe further, the aspect of the presence of God that Zechariah was standing is the place where prayers are manufactured. The aspect of the presence of God that Gabriel operated is the place where prayers are answered. And those are two different locations in the presence of God. And the problem with the temple is the protocol that it takes to access the Holy of Holies. Because the ultimate oracle, meanwhile, the Holy of Holies was designed in a way to capture God's office. So God can descend into that place. And the place can capture his dimensions, because it was built to mirror his dimension. That's where the oracle was, where you could hear the counsel of God, the voice of God, and read into the mind of God. But the problem is that there is only one certified individual that can access the Holy of Holies. So many people have labored as priests in that same temple that never had the privilege to see what was lying beyond that curtain. So the idea of the Tabernacle of David was a system that was put in place. The ark was housed in a tent. Are you with me? In a tent outside. And because of that, the protocols were removed, and everyone could come before that tent and worship God. In fact, if you read the book of Amos, you will see the dream that God had a quiet dream in his heart, and that dream was accomplished during the days of the Tabernacle of David. And even though Israel was overrun and the prophet was prophesying a time of restoration that was going to come to Israel, part of the indices that revealed the things that God wanted to restore is that which was prophesied by the prophet Amos. And he said in the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 11, that one of the things I'm going to restore, when I restore that which Israel is and which Israel was, is the tabernacle of David. I was expecting him to say the temple. It means that there was something, a need, a desire, an intention that was locked up in the heart of God that was fully satisfied in the tabernacle of David. And God is saying that, I'm going to raise it back up. And if you see, in fact, he said the way I want to raise it is in the same way it was as in the days of old. There's not going to be any modification at all, because the tabernacle captured the need that I had in my heart to become the object of worship for all nations. If you read the next verse, which is verse 12, you are going to see the reason for which God was saying, I will restore that tabernacle. He said, and then that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and that all the heathen which are called by my name. It means that the nations, it's not only Israel. You know, are you with me? It's only the high priest that had access to do business around the Ark of the Covenant. And God was nursing an ambition in his heart, where all nations, even those that are among the heathen that are called by his name, we have access to the same privileges that the high priest has seasonally. So he will put that system in place for everyone to be able to contact him. That's why he said, I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Like I said, God is an object and a prophetic teacher. If God wants to do something, he will first create an example of it in the Old Testament. In fact, if you are seeing God do it in the Old Testament, and probably you lived during the time of the Old Testament, you don't even know what God is doing. Because everything that he's doing is pointing to something to come. God is so prophetic. Then once upon a time, a prophet will rise that can decode what God wants to do and prophesy it, that this is what God actually has in mind. He wants to accomplish so and so. That's the reason why he set up this pattern. So the pattern of the tabernacle of David is a pattern that is descriptive of how God will become the object of worship for all nations. That means all the protocols and the restrictions that are standing in the way of people having the opportunity to engage him with their spirit man will be taken out. It's in view of this that I had to go to the book of John chapter 4. John chapter 4 happens to be the simplest presentation of the fulfillment of this possibility. First of all, are you still with me? Alright, so we're still on time. Because there's a theoretical aspect of this, my presentation. There's also a practical aspect of the presentation. So, I have time for the theoretical side so that we can also have time for the practical side. Alright, Jesus departed from Judea and he went into Galilee. You know, this is the house of theologians, and some of the finest witnesses of New Testament Christianity preachers are found among the Anglican communion. So I know that you are thorough in your theology. Hallelujah. Yes, that's true. I know that you are thorough in your theology. I'd like you to see the map of Israel in your mind. Judea. That is the province that warehouses all the traditions of Israel. Judea, the capital of which is Jerusalem, is the seat of Judaism. It is because of that district that is called Judea that we have Jews. Jews, it's not every Israelite that is a Jew. Only those that are from Judea. And it will interest you to know that Jesus was crucified by the Jews. Jesus' greatest fans were in Galilee. Now, I know you know the map of Israel in your brain. Alright, so Israel is a very strategic location in the then world. And because of the Baltic rocks of the south, if you want to navigate from Israel to Arabia, if you want to navigate from Israel to Europe, you will need to go through Galilee. So Galilee actually embodies the international side, and Judea is the national side. Are you picking my picture on your brain? So the regions of Galilee, the tribes that are in that geographical location, Naphtali and Zebulun, because they were exposed to, you know, a trade route. Are you with me? People from different nations will be passing through Naphtali, passing by the border of Zebulun, and that's where idolatry comes from. Because as they are passing with their gods, they spend the night in a hotel in Zebulun. They might teach the hotel attendant how to consult. When an Ezemo is passing, they will do something there, and that's where the foreign gods come from. That's why the Bible says that The people of Zabulon and Naphtali, the Bible said they dwelt in darkness. These Galileans were the most ardent followers of Jesus. But the Judeans were the traditional Jews that felt offended at the kind of ministry that Jesus had. So the Bible says that Jesus left Judea and he departed into the regions of Galilee. As he departed into Galilee, he was pressed in his spirit, because the Bible says, and he needs passed through Samaria. So I believe he was pressed in his spirit and he passed through a city called Sychar. Sychar means mirage. If you are a driver, I don't know, our roads are no longer good for you to see a mirage. We have fiscal potholes, it's not. But if you had a straight tar and you were driving on a tar, there are times where you will see as though there was a body of water on the main road. And when you drive to that point, you find out that there was no water at all. It was an illusion. It was something that presented a visual possibility of existence, but in actual existence, there was nothing like that. So Jesus was passing through Sychar. And then Jesus encounters a woman of Samaria. After encountering this woman of Samaria, in fact, you know, Jesus is an object teacher. He came and sat on the well. So the woman was coming to draw water from the well. He now asked the woman to give him water to drink. Don't forget that it is illusion. It is mirage. Don't forget it. Because everything that is mentioned in scripture is significant to the understanding of the body that is captured in that progression of revelation. So he sits on the well and he requests that the woman should give him some water to drink. The first observation we see is that the woman says, how is it that you, being a Jew, is asking a woman of Samaria for water? Meanwhile, socially, traditionally, Jews and Samaritans should have no dealings. That's the first obstacle. You know, the idea of the tabernacle of David is creating a tent that is accessible, that doesn't have the protocols of the temple, so that everyone can access God and worship him as God. So the first obstacle that we have between Jesus and this woman was a traditional type of obstacle. I don't know the way Jesus was dressed, but it seems to suggest that there was a kind of attire that Jesus wore suggested that he was a Jew. Just like the Igbo attire I went to. And whenever I preach in Inowere, they make an Igbo. The different types, the black one, the red one, the yellow one. Hallelujah. So I believe that Jesus was putting on something that suggested that he was a Jew. And when the woman cited him, the woman said, we are not supposed to have dealings. But it's the intention of God to remove the barriers so that we can access God and worship him without the protocols that will keep us in the outer court or in the holy place. So Jesus had a challenge. The challenge was to remove that obstacle. You there? So Jesus now said, if thou hast known the gift of God and who it is that is requesting water from you, you would have asked him to give you living water. You must be star. Are you there? Now, so that means her first perception of Jesus was Jew. But when Jesus introduced himself In another way, if you have known the gift of God, if you have known Him that is requesting water of you, you would have taken advantage of the situation to request of water. The woman changed her salutation. He now called her Sir. You know that's progress from Jew to where? He's trying to remove limitation. Now, meanwhile, you will notice that Jesus sat on the well, and the woman is not aware that he wants to dig a well inside of her. He's not aware of that. So, he's digging something there. But the objective, the ultimate objective, is to remove the obstacles so that she can have access to the current principle of worship. Are you there? Alright, so, the woman said, Sir, I don't know where you intend to get this water from because the well is very deep and you don't have any implement with which to draw. Jesus went further and said, He that drinketh of this well, this one you are coming for, he shall thirst again. For the water that I do give, it shall be a spring of water reaching unto eternal life. So the first limitation was that he was a Jew. The second limitation that was going to stand in the way of their interaction is that she did not see that Jesus had any implement with which to draw water. Jesus said, do you think it's this your water that I'm talking about? You've been coming here for so long and you are still at your test. The one that I give, you will not test again. So the woman said, okay, can you make this water available to me so that I will not come here to draw again? She was still outside of the context of what Jesus was saying, but Jesus did not rebuke her. Jesus, because the objective is to take away the obstacles. When the woman came to the agreement of the fact that she needed water, give me so that I will not thirst again and I will not need to come here to draw water. Jesus now asked the question. Go to the city and come with your husband. The woman said, well, I have paid bride price on my head 5 times. And the man I'm with now, I just moved in. Because it doesn't work for me. So how will it look like for me to go again and be gathering the elders to come for bride price? No. I just moved in quietly. Jesus said, you used to lie before, but today you decided to say the truth. That for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he who now thou hast is not thy husband. Indeed, thou hast said truly. That means if you used to lie before, but in this matter, this only this case, you spoke the truth. So the woman now changed the salutation. You know, it was Jew to a star. Now he now said, it seems you are a prophet. I am discovering some revelatory powers in your life. But you see, even though she had come to the point where she could see that there was a prophetic grace on Jesus Christ, it was not sufficient to activate the well that Jesus came to build in her. You know what? After she perceived that Jesus was a prophet, you know our cousins, they claim Jesus is a prophet. But it's not sufficient. That you accept that he's a prophet is not a sufficient gradient for you to come into that place where you can achieve worship in the privacy of your spirit. She now came with a theological question. Yeah, go back to verse 20. You see, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And he says that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She brought a theological question. And Jesus said unto her, believe me, the hour cometh that you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So we have entered the actual context. Because the context of the tabernacle of David is worship. So her wandering questions have brought Jesus into the context where Jesus can nail the matter. Jesus now said to her that a time is coming where location will not be a parameter in worship. It will not be on this mountain, neither will it be in Jerusalem. But all forms of true worship will be achieved in the Spirit. And because of the kind of question she was asking previously, it became obvious that she would not be able to understand the meaning of what Jesus said. So, in verse 23, Jesus now did definition of terms. Verse 24, Jesus did definition of terms. First definition is what? God is Spirit. Let us dwell there. Maybe we'll dwell there tonight. God is Spirit. Because God is Spirit, you can only contact God with your spirit. When you contact God, there is a possibility that there's an overflow and you feel a sensation. But you see, if you feel that sensation, enjoy it. But God is not a feeling. God is Spirit. I'll need to introduce one scripture just to enlighten us a little. Because what we want to achieve here is the tabernacle of David. That every one of us will be able to. There is a technology that has been built in our redemption that affords us the opportunity to carry God around. God is trapped in our vessel. In fact, the economy of the New Testament is captured in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It's a very deep technology. I was hoping that we will go into that tomorrow. How that technology works. No, you don't need to go there today. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. That's the economy of the New Testament. Okay. Since we're already there, let us journey there. Now, this is what Apostle Paul says. He says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, I need to explain what that means. When you take a bottle of Coke, take a bottle of Fanta, you mix, you pour Coke into a cup, pour Fanta there. What's the name of the new product? It's exactly what you just said now. This new product is not Coke. It's not Fanta. It has properties of Coke. It has properties of Fanta. But it is neither Coke nor Fanta. So when you gave your life to Christ, what God did is that he established the economy called one spirit. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit mingled together to form an economy. Are you with me? Now, this economy that is formed is so intimate that if your spirit should move, you will think it is God that moved. If God should move, you will think it's your spirit that moved. Oh, you are not following me. All right, let me. If you start reading your Bible from the book of Romans, and you read down to 2 Thessalonians, I challenge you to do it. I've done it before. Anytime you find the word spirit, if you interpret it to mean spirit of God, it will be correct. If you interpret it to mean your human spirit, it will be correct. Just try reading anytime you find spirit from Romans. It is theologically correct and it is experientially correct. If you interpret it to mean the Spirit of God, that verse of Scripture will be accurate. If you interpret it to mean the human spirit, that verse of Scripture will be accurate because of the economy of the mingled spirit. It is theologically accurate and is experientially accurate. Are you there? Because the Spirit of God is mingled with your spirit, there are a lot of symptoms that will find expression if the Spirit of God decides to move. Let's capture some of the symptoms. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? I'll read verse 11. In this new arrangement, can you see that in the economy of the mingled spirit, God has taken away the protocols because the spirit is mingled with your spirit. There's no protocol in between you and him. In fact, the level of intimacy that exists between you and God right now is deeper than the one that exists between you and your wife. Because you are one flesh with your wife, but you are one spirit with the Holy Ghost. In fact, are you there? It is because of our oneness in spirit with the Holy Ghost that we even have authority. Because marriage is an illustration, it's a platform from whence our union with Christ, mystical union with Christ, can be illustrated. So our oneness with Christ in the Spirit is what even gives us the authority to be one with our wives in the flesh. It's that aspect of oneness that is illustrated in the flesh. But that thing is a spiritual reality, which we call the economy of the mingled spirit. No more protocols. The kind of access you have is so deep that you can read the thoughts of God. And if you know what to do, you can enter into that place where you can access the thoughts of God. You can access the mind of God. But I don't know how long you need to stay with your wife for you to know what she's thinking. Have you? Maybe the senior reverend will help us with that. The possibility of intimacy that we have with God is much more than that which is possible with any human being because of the economy of the mingled spirit. The protocols in the New Testament, in the new creation, those protocols have been taken away completely. And each and every one of us has the opportunity to experience what the high priest, the chief priest, experiences on the Day of Atonement. You can stand before, and that is the experience that you have. You carry God around like that, with that potential every single day from the day you gave your life to Christ. So the question is this. It is obvious that the average believer doesn't know how to maximize the potential of intimacy. So if God is saying, I want to raise again the tabernacle of David, what God is saying is, I don't want to be relating with my people from behind the curtain. I want every one of them to have the opportunity to be able to discern my movements in their vessel. Now, this is the first implication of the economy of the mingled spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11. Hallelujah. He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. Do you realize that your things, as a human being, your things, as intelligent as your mind is, your mind does not know your thing. Your mind cannot decode your things. Your mind doesn't have the function, it doesn't have the capacity to decode the things that are contained in your destiny as articulated by God. If you ever discover your purpose, it will not come from your mind. It will be unlocked through your spirit. Are you there? In the same way, the Bible says that the things of God knoweth no man except the Spirit of God. Are you there? So the Bible says, now we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things of God. The things of God are freely given to us by God. So I have, that's one of the possibilities that we have because of this mingled spirit. I can access the things of God. I can know the things of God. I can understand the things of God. If you can know the things of God, are you there? If it is possible to understand the things of God, it means that even though I'm a human being, I have access to technologies that are found in God, and I can run my life using those technologies. That means another man that does not have the privilege that I have with God cannot produce the same results that I will produce because I have access to the things of God. But the Bible says that the Spirit searches all things. I know the best search machine that you have is Google, but there is a search facility that is deeper than Google. It's called the Holy Spirit. He searches all things. He searches chemistry, searches physics, searches law, searches all things, and searches to the extent of the deep things of God. So, if the Holy Spirit within me that is mingled with my spirit, that is one with my spirit in regeneration, has the capacity to search all things. I mean all things. Including the wisdom that will solve the problem between you and your husband. He can search into it. Including the problem of how you can defeat poverty. He can search into it. Are you there? He can search all things. And in addition to all things, he said, he can search the deep things of God. So I have access to the mind of God on every human problem in the Holy Ghost that God has given me. But if I still have problems, it means I have refused to explore the possibilities that are captured in that realm of privilege that God has brought me into. The problem with every believer is that you came into God, but you still want to operate as a mortal. Meanwhile, mortality, if you read your Bible, mortality is a cause. It's a result of rebellion. He said, I have said, ye are God's authorities. And all of you are children of the Most High God. But ye shall die like men. Mortality is a product of rebellion. We want to live like mortals. We like to continue in insufficiency when God is affording us the opportunity of sufficiency in Himself. It's just that you will need to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. You need to look beyond yourself to the capacities of God, to the Spirit of God, in order for you to find help. God created the human being limited. I know you have a PhD. But the knowledge that you have acquired by investing in the soil of your soul will not deliver you from the limitation that is trapped in humanity. And if you are going to solve the puzzle of limitation, if you are a bag of limitation, because the Bible says that the Spirit helps our infirmities, and it's in plural, infirmities. And He created us that way, intentionally, so that no one will be able to function without taking advantage of the multidimensional provisions that is captured in God. If you are still with me, say amen. For instance, the Bible says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we shall pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself helpeth us, makes intercession from the saints in groanings that cannot be uttered. First of all, He says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Then He now mentions one area of infirmities: prayer. He said we know not what we should pray. That means if an angel visits you in the house now and says, God is happy today, God is willing to answer prayer today. Are you with me? Pray now, God will answer. If you pray, you will pray the wrong prayer point. That's what that scripture means. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. Your prayer point will be wrong. If He now says, okay, pray for your mother, she's going to face danger, so pray for her now. The Bible is still saying that you don't know how many hours of prayer you will put in place to register that prayer point. Because the Bible says we know not what we should pray as we ought. So even if the angel comes again and says, okay, pray for 2 hours. By 2 hours, it will be registered. The Bible says you don't even have the utterance to prosecute the prayer. You will still need groanings that humankind cannot utter. That's just one point. Prayer. And you have infirmities on different levels. And God created us as bags of infirmity so that we'll recognize that it's in the Spirit of God that sufficiency that we need can be found. Those are incentives that have been put in place to encourage us to explore God as astronauts explore space. But the average believer is not willing to come. So our lives are measured. We see the patterns of liability for 3 generations still locking and contending with us after many generations. Because we have not yet made up our minds to explore the potential of the Holy Ghost in such a great capacity as is worthy of the economy of the mingled spirit. Meanwhile, that effort is what God put in place in order to satisfy the prototype that He exemplified in the tabernacle of David. That God is approachable. God is accessible. You don't need any protocol to come before Him, because in the new creation, He and you are mingled to become one spirit in the new economy that He has set up. So that intimacy will no longer be a lecture. It will become an experience. And if Adam ever had anything to boast about in those moments in the cool of the day when God came into his realm to commune with him, if he ever had anything to boast about, you have more. Because whereas God could come and visit with Adam, Adam couldn't visit God. He couldn't. So he has to wait until God is interested. You can advance the process by exercising your spirit. But when we look around, we do not see the full potential of this possibility. And this one I just raised tonight is just number one. It's just number one. By the time we come tomorrow, we'll look at the second layer. Look at the third layer, if time will permit us. This is just number one. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so knoweth no man the things of God, save the spirit of God. We have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, with things we speak, not with words that man's wisdom teaches, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If God gives us utterance, that's where we'll go tomorrow. Which things we speak. Which things we speak. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I think 15 years ago. Yeah, 15 years ago. When I got married. So my wife took in, we went to the hospital, they did the scan, and then they gave us a date and said, okay, the expected date of delivery is around this corner, and it can be 2 weeks before this corner or 2 weeks after. So we came back home. The 2 weeks before passed. The 2 weeks after passed. I got worried, so I decided to commune with God on the matter. Began to pray in the Spirit. Began to pray in the Spirit. Began to pray in the Spirit. I was gaining ascendancy. Gaining ascendancy because the invitation is come. Let us reason together. You are the one to make the migration. You are the one to make the effort. So, I was praying in the Spirit. And I was migrating. I was migrating. Then when I got to where he was, he put a vision before my face. And I saw someone wearing a bowler hat. But the eyes were hidden under the hat. And the vision was so clear. And I pointed in the direction. I said, so you are the one that has resisted this young lady from delivering. The moment I pointed, my wife started labor. That was how we had our first time. So there are several battles. If you can climb and see, just see what is wrong, Satan is not even ready for a battle. But most of us are not willing to climb. For most of us, our possibilities will remain a potential. Meanwhile, it's supposed to translate to an experience of the depth of God. The protocols have been removed. The pathway has been made so that we can journey and explore God as astronauts explore space. Hallelujah. Today, we are going to pray. You still remember Abraham? God called him. He said, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee from thy father's house and go to the land that I will show. Didn't give him a map, didn't give him an address, but he told him that I will show you the land. Every dream Abraham was going to have after that instruction was going to be part of the map. Every vision, every inspiration was part of the map. That means Abraham had to depend on God in order for him to move from one place to the other place. That was a situation where Abraham was absolutely dependent on God, and he could not afford to quarrel with God, because if he quarrels with God, God will leave him in the wilderness. Many of us can quarrel with God. The reason is because you don't know that your only access to the things of God is the Spirit of God which is in you. The Holy Ghost in you is grieved because you came for prayers in the morning on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. You slept on Friday, slept on Saturday. He knows you will sleep on Sunday. So he shows you his displeasure. But because you don't understand that he is the only one that can help you navigate your way through life, you can afford to allow him displeased with you. And when he's displeased with you, he puts himself in such a way that you cannot discern him. Are you there? That state in which you cannot discern him is a state of vulnerability that every believer should avoid. It means you cannot access his help. He is available, but you cannot access his help. Because you don't treasure his presence enough to ensure that you spend time to fellowship with him. So his help is far from you. That is what I want to avoid all through my life. Because Abraham knew better that he could not quarrel with God in the midst of the wilderness. He will never arrive at the place where God is asking him to go. Later on the journey, you will hear God introducing him as a prophet to Pharaoh. How did he become a prophet? Because there was never a time he prophesied. He was a prophet because he didn't know where he was going. And it was through the navigations of the Spirit that he was able to arrive at the location. And the Bible says that Abraham's life is a prototype of that which God wants to do in the life of every believer, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 51 verse 1 and 2. It means God wants to make you like Abraham. The same way Abraham did not know where he was going, that's how you don't know where you are going. Yes, you understand that you are called, but you don't have an idea of the full implication of the calling. As you are obeying, the thing will be opening. It will be opening much more. It will be opening much, much more. Are you there? We built an auditorium, a big auditorium. And the office they built for me was massive. I hear that it is bigger than the office of the governor of my state, even though I have not been there. So I came, when the office was opened, I came and sat on the seat, and God spoke to me. He said, "Your place is not here." Huh? Are you with me? I called another pastor and gave him you've been looking for where to pray. Because he told me that in this your navigation, how would I have known that the place for me was not? Because after building a place like that, I think that place can sit 4,500. So I will now come and relax and start teaching and eating. I was relaxing into that mode when he told me that your place is not here. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. So I gave it away so that I can continue on the journey. Because when he was sending me initially, it is that location that we broke through that he spoke about. But I didn't know that beyond that breakthrough, the call, I didn't see what he's showing me now. I didn't see it when I started. This is the first time I'm coming out of my room when Reverend came to pick me, because he has shown me a place that he wants me to move to. Who built a cathedral as massive as this
And then you say you have handed over, you are moving, you must be mad. That's how, what it takes to follow him. That's what it takes. So I was in the room praying. He showed me another place that I should move. How do you move now? Move. May you not stop where God has not stopped in the name of Jesus. So we can explore the depths of God because of the new arrangement that God has made. So we have one prayer to pray as the congregation. That God will give you and me the capacity to be consistent in our pursuit with God. Everything that you have seen is nothing compared to what God wants to achieve through your life. You see, a time came where, by the mercies of God, I began to move in the gift of working of miracles. So you see somebody crippled stands up, begins to walk. Somebody blind begins to see. If we begin to pray now, and God wills, I can know how many people dead is standing up. And I can reverse it. So I began to see that level of authority, that level of power. I saw someone's leg that was, this leg is shorter than this leg. The leg grew out and they became the same size. Yes, I saw it in Lagos. So that gift started flowing. And I felt I was becoming a man of God. Then I went to God. I was just praying, just thanking God. And he spoke loudly to me. He said, that mantle of the miraculous is just starting. You know, I was already feeling that. You know. See, that thing is just starting. This is the elementary level. I'm ready to go on. I don't know about you. I'm ready. I came to tell you that the best that God has for you, you have not seen it yet. And what God has done for you is not the best that he can do. It's still more. I pray you have enough hunger to trace this thing to the very end. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. 10 years ago, I stood up in my city and said, our airport, God spoke to me. When Jesus visited me, he told me 6 things that will happen. And when the 7th one happens, it's time for revival. So I've been watching. First one happened, second one happened, third one happened. Fourth one that he told me was that there was going to be a flood in my city. And the flood was going to make some of our members refugees. You know, imagine a pastor of a problem of a sign like that. Some of you! I saw it. He said during the days of that flood, they will see, you know, my city is a city of fish. They will see the kind of fish they have never seen. That is fishy of fishes that they have never seen before. I saw it. It came to pass. Then the last sign he gave me was that our airport will become functional. People say I was mad. That was how 1 came, 2 up, 3 up, 4 up, 5 up. The airport. Then I told them that it's time for revival. God wants to revive the church in Nigeria. And the Lord will touch our government. So watch out. He will carry a swing gun. It took me deep to see what I'm telling you. Your own belief cannot change it. If you are still here, say amen. I was preaching in Kenya. We did the first night, second night of the conference, went back home. Then my guest now came to me and said, "We have a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "The deputy president said he wants to come, but we cannot receive him in the open meeting. We'll just do a small breakfast meeting so that we can come and talk to him, him and his people." He told me that by 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So when everybody went to sleep, I went to look for Jesus. "Jesus, where are you?" 12 o'clock. "Where are you?" 1 o'clock. "Where are you?" 2 o'clock. 2:15, Jesus now comes. He said, "When you go there tomorrow, call the man David. That he's going to win the election." The man I was talking about, as at the time we were to hold that meeting, had no party. Can you relate with it? He was expelled from the ruling party and he had no party. The man we were talking about, the sitting president was supporting the opposition party to make the opposition leader the president. And Jesus told me, "Your name is David. For with his holy oil has he anointed you. He will conquer kings before your face. He will stretch forth your hand over the sea." He also said I should tell him that he was the one that caused the problem between him and his principal. So that no man will ever say, "I made you king." Wait. After that utterance, Kenyans came to me and said, "What you said can never happen. This is why. These are the families that rule here. So anyone that wants to be president, his father must have been president before, or vice president, or this man you are prophesying on doesn't have any of their vote. And right now, he's partyless." I think the elections are not far now. We can wait. I told him that the elections will be disputed and it will go to court and he will still win in court. He will win at the polls and win in court. By the time we came out of that place, I thought it was a closed small meeting. What I prophesied was on Facebook. My enemies have downloaded it, waiting for it to fail so that they will say, "We told you." You know what? The first time I went to heaven, I was 13 years old. The things that I saw never allowed me to commit fornication before I married. The only woman I know is the woman I married till today. At the age of 23, 24, I started seeing angels come to my room with messages. If an angel comes with a message to me, I will not announce it like this. But I know Jesus. If he comes, I will go on NTA. That thing came to pass the way the Lord revealed it. Went to court, still won. Kenya, as a nation, invited me for the swearing in. They put me on business class on Kenya Airways from Lagos. If there is anything like honor in ministry, I experienced a little of it that day. And you know, anytime I want to rejoice that, hey, something's happening, he will come and say, you have not begun this. So I want to tell you, you have not begun. There are great things that he wants to manifest through your life. Can we pray tonight? Oh my God. See, he's here. He's here. You want to ask him to take you deeper. We have not yet maximized the potential of the economy of the mingled spirit. There are many things he wants to put on your life. Tonight is that moment. Tonight is that time. Oh my. Is not the lamina cardia besti. Is the bread to be la mantelia. Perana sig. Perana santeria brahasila. Misco presontelia branteva codebala. Ai costelli mahande. Yella vos sekele. Yella vos samina hintalia. Yella vos donde babarusche tabrende catalibo. Yantose che dalima santelia. Ruca papaya. Ruca vestila ambresco per laminaita. Lord, we journey with you. We journey with you in the spirit. We journey with you in the name of Jesus. We journey with you
Oh,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now, if you are an usher in this place, can I see your hand? Just they are not enough. Maybe tomorrow we'll get more. So we'll just do. Now listen, I see 7 lamps. Now just hold on. Burning lamps. There are 7 people here. These people that I speak of are prophets. But you don't have sight. You only have hearing. But there's an anointing that will come upon you to give you sight. And there are 7 of them. From my left hand side to my right hand side to the balcony. Father, let the anointing come on 7 of them. 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 Locate them. Hallelujah. Now, ushers, ushers, you can't contain it this night. Now, the idea is that those 7 people, I'm supposed to prophesy on them. Have you found them? The hand of God will rest upon them mightily. It's even coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Holy Ghost. I see the garment of the presence of God upon you. And one fire will descend upon you in the next 12 seconds. Fire will come on you in 12 seconds. In 12 seconds. In 12 seconds. In 12 seconds. Holy Ghost. Here, an intercessor, a woman that has been laboring in the place of prayer. God wants to increase your rank. He wants to increase your rank. In the next 17 seconds, you will receive a touch. 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 The grace on your life increases tonight. Oh! I see someone on the first bar coming. First bar coming. There's fire. There's fire coming upon you. Fire. Fire. There are two people in the congregation. Something like a strange heat will come upon you. It's an impartation from God. In the next 7 seconds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are three ladies. You are relatives and you are present here. There's a powerful witchcraft in your family. God will be empowering you to go destroy the witchcraft. And fire will come upon three of you. Fire will come in the next 21 seconds. Fire! 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 If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we want to gain ascendancy. The heavens are open right now. God is distributing things. He's releasing things. He's releasing things. He's releasing things. Make sure your spirit is open. Make sure your spirit is open. Things have been released. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. There is a woman here. Not too long ago, you had a miscarriage. A woman here. Not too long ago, you had a miscarriage. I'm looking for that woman. You had a miscarriage. Woman, can you wave? There's a woman here. You recently had a miscarriage. Woman, come. Come, because the Lord is giving you a baby. Come. Come up here. Come. Woman, come. You had a miscarriage and you were so broken. Climb up. You were so broken. But I see your baby. Father, behold these women. Behold these women. Give them babies. 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 Yes, so the anointing comes upon you. Yes. Comes upon you. Weep no more, sister. Weep no more. By the time of this conference, next year, you will be a mother. Yes, 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 yes. Release babies on this woman. By the time we come here next year, they will have four. Jesus. There's still fire on my hand. It means there's one woman still left. There's still fire here. Yes, yes, you have started. Yeah, they have started receiving. They have started receiving. Receive, 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 receive. Yes, yes, yes. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Receive your baby. The Lord wants to heal eyes now. Eyes. Please, I beg you tomorrow, bring real sick people tomorrow evening. Blind, deaf, dumb, mad. Bring them tomorrow. Are you still with me? If you are still here, say amen. Say amen. Yes, sister. Congratulations. 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 Now wait, all of you, wait, wait, wait. I am seeing a sign. I am seeing a sign. You know what I see? I'm talking to you, ladies, you mothers. I'm seeing a child released from heaven. This child is going to be male. His name is going to be Samuel, and he's going to walk as a prophet. Now, don't believe me. Don't believe me. If what I'm saying is true, the mother that will carry that child, the Lord will touch that person in the next 21 seconds. If what I'm saying is true. Father, confirm it. Confirm it. We'll go deeper tomorrow. Hey. Hey. All right. Two things I will do before I leave. There's someone bound by Satan in this place. Bound by Satan. And the bondage is rooted in the witchcraft that is in your family. But in the next 21 seconds, the chains that you carry will be broken. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that one that is bound in this place by the chains of witchcraft, From the first overflow to the second, the third, to the ground floor. Father, search for that one. 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 Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Move. I cut off that spell of darkness from you in the name of Jesus. All right. If there is anybody here, you have an eye condition, you are short-sighted, long-sighted, I may not know the name, just lay your hands on your eyes. You will see now. You will see now. Short-sightedness, long-sightedness, you will see right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over blinding spirits. Blinding spirits, be bound. Blinding spirits, be bound. Blinding spirits, be bound. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Short-sightedness, long-sightedness, glaucoma, astigmatism, any kind of infirmity of the eyes, I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Now I say to your eyes, I see, I see, in Jesus' name. Remove your hand. Conduct a test for 2 minutes. 2 minutes test. Okay, let's go. While you are conducting the test, if you are in the hall, we'll begin to pray. The prayer point is this. You are praying for your family. Let everything that God has not planted that is in that family, let it be rooted out. Let it be rooted out. Let it be rooted out. You can root it out. Jesus. So I can see that 2 eyes have been healed. 2. So if you check your eye, you notice that there's a correction that has taken place. Wave to me. It can be more than 2, but it cannot be less than 2. All right, so, okay. Wave again. I need just two testimonies. So two of you, come. Just two. Please, come quick. Especially if you have your glasses with you and you can see without your glasses. Come up. Do you have a microphone, please, Reverend? Find out from him. Oh, this side? No, wait. Okay. You stand this way. You have confirmed your healing of the healing of your eyes. Join me here. If you have confirmed the healing of your eyes, join me here. What happened to my club? All right. Do me a favor, please. Anywhere you are, just sit down. Those of you in the front, can you stretch your hand in my direction? Father, in the name of Jesus, those that receive your anointing, let the anointing rest. Let it remain. Those that were delivered, let the deliverance be permanent in the name of Jesus. The hand of God is upon you and will continue to be with you in Jesus' name. All right, go back.
Right. Before now, he couldn't see far without the glasses. But now, he sees better.
So, for how long have you used this?
4 years.
For 4 years, they've been using this glasses to see far. But now, he can see without the use of the glasses. If you confirm your healing, you can come up to the stage. If you confirm the healing of your eyes, you can come up to the stage and come quickly. Tomorrow is the night for miracles, the night for wonders. Today we are testing the waters to see if the angel made it to the pool.
Apostle, sir.
Yes.
He couldn't see clearly before without the glasses.
Couldn't see clearly without
the glasses. Case of short-sightedness. But now, she said, while she sat down there, she could see your face clearly.
She could see my face from the back. Can somebody shout, Hallelujah. So for how long have you been wearing glasses?
From when I was in secondary school.
So from when she was in class 3, secondary school, you have been using glasses and now she can see. Can you salute Jesus? Lord, this miracle is permanent. In Jesus' name. Yes, so it's permanent. Okay? God bless you. Yes?
He said from childhood, he's not been able to see clearly.
From childhood, he's not been able to see clearly.
But now, he sees clearly.
Okay. Now, he sees clearly. You see, so, this is a situation of a case where the healing is not perfected. If the healing is not perfected, just put your hand on the head. The process will be fast-tracked. So if he stands up now, he will be totally healed. Yes?
Issue of glaucoma?
Glaucoma?
Yeah, that he used to feel some sandy particles in his eyes.
Some particles in
his eyes. But now the eyes are clear.
Come, let's check. Yeah, so he is healed. Somebody rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. It's permanent.
Since last year, she had issues with the eye, especially the right eye.
The right eye.
She was supposed to go for a surgery, but she came by faith while she sat in the congregation, she was seeing double. She couldn't see clearly. Her view was made double. But now it's clear.
It's clear now. Come. Yeah, so you are healed. And it's permanent. Now listen. I'm seeing somebody in the spirit. This person has this dream and sees a certain man. You see a certain man. Even though you did not see your grandfather while after the time you were born, but you know that that person that you see is your grandfather, and you have seen him not less than 3 times, trying to talk to you in your dream, but you cannot hear what he's saying. You have had this dream not less than 3 times. Stand up from anywhere you are and come here. There is necromancy in your family, and I want to cut it off now. Come here.
She was short-sighted.
Short-sighted.
But now it's clear.
You can see. For how long were you short-sighted?
8 years.
For 8 years. Do you use glasses? You didn't come with your glasses. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Yeah, yeah, you are here. It's permanent. It's permanent. Yes?
The guy with the dream, he never saw the grandfather, but he has seen him in the dream.
Not less than 3 times.
Not less than 3 times.
Yes, there's necromancy in your family, and it's the Lord's way for us to put an end to it. And I must tell you, the prayer we are praying today can affect somebody. Huh? I just want, if you are not interested in that kind of prayer, if we pray it, it will affect somebody. Are you aware of what I'm saying? If we pray, it will affect somebody. So, come. If you are still interested, after that information, it has affected you a lot. Okay. So, this prayer will affect you. Huh? I don't know how, but I know it will affect. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We cut off the priesthood of necromancy. We release your servant. We release your servant from the grip of the mighty. Let the yoke be broken. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Okay, go. It will affect somebody. Yes? No.
He said he never met his own father.
Never met his own father.
But he has seen him in the dream.
You have been seeing him. Is it more than 3 times? Okay, more than 3 times. We destroy the priesthood of necromancy. We release you from that grip in the name of Jesus. Fulfill your destiny in Jesus' name. Yes?
He never met neither his grandfather nor the father, for it is seen both of them in the dream.
Both of them, yeah. We destroy the altar of necromancy. Oh, Jesus Christ. Ila mohores niko premina salatalia. Let the yoke that you have been carrying all these years, let it break. Now listen. Before I run away, I have a few minutes. Death is on 2 people in this congregation. Death is on 2 people in this congregation. So I will pray a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, those individuals that death has sat upon in the congregation, I ask that you stretch forth your hand. Anywhere they are sitting, anywhere they are standing, so that we can destroy this power. Help us this moment, locate them. No, don't say amen. Don't worry. The instruction has been given. Look for them. Anywhere they are, locate them. Look for them. Anywhere they are, locate them. Look for them.
anywhere they are, locate them. Look for them. Anywhere they are, locate them. Look for them. Anywhere they are, locate them.
You don't come to the house of God to die.
Bring them up here. Bring them up here.
So that the power of death, let it break in the name of Jesus.
Break in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus.
From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet.
I bring you out of the grave. I bring you out in the name of Jesus. Loser.
Yeah, she's coming up. She's coming up. She's coming up.
Come out! In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you stretch your hand in that direction right now? There's a contention. There's a contention in the spirit. Stretch your hands and begin to pray. Stretch your hands and begin to pray.
Yes, you are released. You are released. You are released. You are released. You have no power over her destiny. You have no power over her destiny. Lose her.
Sister, can you come? Now, this demon is on her umbilical cord. So, touch it. So, leave her now. Leave her. Lose her. Lose her. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We cancel your intention. We cancel your plan. Oh my God. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. I'm looking for is this way. The person will receive the anointing for the gift of word of knowledge. Okay, there are four. There are four of them. Lord, those four individuals that will receive the gift of word of knowledge, let your hand come on them like fire. Let it 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 come so strong like fire. Let it come 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 like fire. Holy Ghost! You know, I said I don't need your help. I'm seeing you standing on a white pavement, and the pavement lifts you up. I began to inquire, what is this? There's an increase, but the white pavement is a platform of authority that will be revealed in divine healing in your ministry. You will find ease in ministering to the sick and seeing results. I know you used to see results before. This one will be. That's a promotion in that area. Now, this is how we ministers get our own entertainment. It's when we have an opportunity to confront an evil spirit. This is our own entertainment. Now, when you find a demon that is talkative, first thing you need to do, the demon wants attention. So don't give the demon. Just, so let's look for something else and do quick. Don't be interested. Don't be interested. Okay, there's an evangelist in our midst. I'm seeing that God is giving you a grace to be able to cast out demons with ease. But he said, I should tell you that your ministry is meant for the rural areas, not the cities. So you see, the angel of the Lord is anointing me now, because he's also anointing people in that category. There are 12 of them. This is one. There are 12 of them. He's already anointing them. He's anointing them. It's remaining 11. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. Yes. 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 It's a deliverance anointing. It's a deliverance anointing. So we have 2. It's remaining 10. We have 3. It's remaining 9. Oh. Now, notice that the spirits have stopped talking. Huh? Even though they talk, they can't talk forever. So this sister will help us cast out the spirit. Now, the demon, they use her umbilical cord to do the ritual. So just put your hand there. The spirit will come out. Are you? Yeah. So do you see that there's no need for a command? So all the noise the demon was making was bragging. Don't remove your hand. Just leave it. Hey. I said, don't remove your hand. Don't remove your hand. In the name of Jesus. Don't remove it. Don't remove it. For another 3 minutes, it will be over. Hallelujah. Can we pray one prayer before I leave? I have 20 minutes. Are you still with me? If you are still with me, say amen. Your amen is weak. I say amen. Yeah, so it's going. All right. Now, give us. Now, there is a messenger from heaven that the Lord has sent into our midst. An angel of God. Now, listen. This is where the angel is standing. No. All of you, go back. Did I call you? Don't come. So the angel is standing here. Now, it means that there's somebody either close here or close here that God is looking for. And that's the person that God sent me to this evening. In the next 21 seconds, the hand of God will come on the person. It will come strong. Holy Ghost! 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 Filled with the Spirit. Go. Now let fire torment you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Yes. 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 Yes, yes, yes. From the crown of your head. Don't remove your hand from there. To the soles of your feet. Every member of your family initiated, implicated by the altars that were raised, that were not adequately disposed of. The spirit that locked, in the name of Jesus, I terminate your power. In the name of Jesus, I come by the power that is in the blood of Jesus. She belongs to Jesus. So I loosen her from your grip. I take her from under your control. In the name of Jesus. Whenever the demon is speaking, leave it. Go and sit down. Next time, when you come to church, look for God. Don't be distracted. The angel has passed. You understand? As I am now, I can't give you what he wanted to give you. Because you came to look at. Where are the people that we located now? Okay. So, bring them one by one. Let me say what the Lord has. See one here. Oh. Do you know? Stand up. Do you know? You were designed to carry God's presence. You must have nothing to do with immorality at all. The garment I see that you are ordained to carry. So the garment will come upon you. It's a heavy garment of the presence. It's a heavy garment. It's coming stronger. It's coming on you. Carry this presence from place to place. Anywhere you come, let the power of darkness be destroyed. Stand up. I want to give you something from the Lord. Yeah, go in this time might. Anything done by reason of the wisdom of the devil, you will have power to destroy it. Where's the third one? The spirit and grace of the intercessor becomes strong. You will be able to stay all night praying, and you will have favor to move the hand of God from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Those of you here, if I touch you, you can go back. Go, go, go. Rain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody celebrate Jesus in the house. Celebrate Jesus in the house. Celebrate Jesus. If you are blessed tonight, celebrate Jesus. Okay, let's give God our offering. Bring out your offering. Let's give the Lord our offering.